We're talking today with the president of the American Farm Bureau, Bob Stallman. Mr. Stallman, you had, I think, some interesting things that you talked about within the context of your speech to the membership here at this year's meeting in San Antonio. You talked a little bit about this idea of accountability for Congress. And you indicated that we need to thank them when they do their job. We need to get rid of them when they don't. Do you have any plans to try to be encouraging Farm Bureau members to be a little more proactive in that regard in later this year in 2014?
Well, we don't have a formal plan at AFBF because we don't actually engage directly in political elections. But the point I was trying to make was, don't complain about what Congress is doing or in most cases not doing unless you're willing to hold your member of Congress accountable for what they're doing. And, you know, if they're not doing what you want them to, don't complain about that to AFBF. Go out and get involved in the election process and find someone to represent you that will do a better job. That was really the only general point I was making, which, you know, by extension means that you need to get more involved.
You, of course, talked about several chores that they needed to do here in 2014, members of Congress in general. At the top of your list clearly was Farm Bill. And are you frustrated how this thing has been drawn out really over a 2 or 3 year period now?
Well, absolutely. This is becoming the never-ending Farm Bill. But I think we're getting close. I really feel that way. We're getting down to some, like a single or a couple of issues. And when a conference committee gets down to that point, those are the last things that need to be decided. It generally means that they're ready to move forward. So I'm hoping by the end of January that we do have a Farm Bill. I mean, we are getting close to planting season, particularly down here in Texas and southern part of the country. And, you know, we need to know what the rules are going to be.
Of course, in the case of your one of wheat producers, the race is on. Will we harvest wheat or will we have a farm bill to implement?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
Regarding some of the regulatory issues that are out there right now, it seems like that this administration, and we kind of were speculating that this might be the case with the reelection of Mr. Obama, but it seems like the regulatory agencies, EPA at the lead, have gotten more aggressive than ever before in going after production agriculture.
Well, it does seem that way. We have a new rule coming out, it seems like, on a regular basis that in many instances, we think, tries to extend the scope of authority under existing law by the EPA further than where we think they should be allowed to go. And so what we do in that case is, you know, first we obviously, you know, comment on rules, try to get them to change rules, make them more reasonable. But at the end of the day, if we think they're moving further than they should, then we'll have to challenge that in court, which we're, you know, certainly willing to do.
When it comes to your litigation efforts, it seems like, again, you've had to step that up. You've had some failures, but you've had some victories as well.
Well, we have, you know, and over the years, we've won been involved in winning some significant cases. But, you know, sometimes we don't. And right now, we lost one at the district court level on the Chesapeake Bay, and we won one in a very big way at the district court level with poultry grower Lois Alt in West Virginia. Now, you know, the EPA is appealing one, and we're appealing the other one. So it really doesn't matter what happens at the lower court level. Some of these have to be decided, as they say, at the highest level, to ultimately determine what scope of authority EPA has under law.
I know that a lot of folks are fearful that the Chesapeake Bay decision could be the harbinger of spreading all across the country as far as EPA's game plan.
Well, absolutely. We made that case very strongly to our leaders from all across the country when we got involved in that case, because it wasn't just about the Chesapeake Bay. It was about an enforcement and regulatory mechanism that would clearly be extended to other parts of the country if they're successful in implementing it in Chesapeake Bay.
Regarding consumers, you indicated in your address to members, you talked about a little bit in the news briefing after that, the news media conference, the fact that we really have got consumers in a lot of cases that are seeing so many negative things coming at them these days regarding agriculture. We've got a lot of groups that are filling the airway, filling the social media sites with a lot of charges about GMOs, about other production practices for animal agriculture. How do we turn this tide? In other words, what do you feel that maybe the two or three keys that may help us get some foothold here?
Well, that was the reason U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance was created, was for all of us in agriculture, the ag groups, to pool their resources and figure that the answer to that question out. We have done some extensive research and interaction with consumers. We think we know what consumers want. They have legitimate questions. They don't know anything about agriculture, about how we raise and grow the food that they eat, but they want to know more. So how do you get that information to them? Well, the most effective way is creating a platform where consumers can engage directly with the farmer or rancher, because they still basically trust farmers and ranchers. They may not trust the president of an organization like myself or experts or other people, but they can make a connection with a farmer or rancher. And when they hear, I do this on my farm because of this, this is why I do it, this is what it means, you know, this still produces safe food, then they say, oh, yeah, well, maybe I better think about this other information I get that, you know, from people who know nothing about farming other than the fact that they're an activist and have a philosophy that they want to promote. And so that's how we have to approach it, I think, to a great extent. And social media allows a platform where that can occur very easily. And so I think that's a positive. And I've seen anecdotal, certainly a lot of anecdotal indications that we're making improvements there. And even when we look at it in a broader context and test some of the things that we're doing and test some of the words and the attitudes that are being expressed, I think we're making progress. But it's going to be a constant challenge. We're going to have to stay in there and keep doing it.
What, you know, obviously, you've invested time into the Farmers Ranchers Alliance yourself, and Farm Bureau's invested dollars, resources. What's your dream? What really can we achieve with the Alliance?
Well, actually, my dream would be that that the Alliance, the information platform we have, the website, and the connections we can make with farmers and ranchers, that if consumers have a question about the food they eat, about how it's raised or grown, that the first place they go is the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance to get the objective information and get it directly from a farmer. That would be my hope.
Farm Bureau, its future. What you've been president of this organization for quite a few years now. I know you had dreams early on. You've kind of had to reinvent those as you've gone along and won re-election. What's the current dream set look like right now?
Well, we want to position AFBF for the future. And that's a future that's going to have a lot of changed elements compared to where we are today. And so getting us to that point where we can be flexible, more efficient, more effective. That involves a lot of moving pieces. It involves how we operate with our operating platform internally. It involves the way we communicate both externally with other groups in society, but also internally with our own membership and leadership. And we're going to have to be more innovative about ways to expand our reach. And, you know, one of the big things we did this past year was purchase some farm shows and some publications, which allows us to expand into those areas. And it's a perfect connection and has a lot of synergies with farmers and ranchers. So that's one piece, you know, of moving forward. And we're going to look at other opportunities in that same vein to really structure Farm Bureau to be a force. And at the same time, you know, we're going to have to do it in a manner that very efficiently uses resources.
How do you incorporate all the exploding technology that's all around us to make Farm Bureau better?
Well, we're working on that, as a matter of fact. We have we've got a new director IT technology area. They're basically a director of technology. And we're starting to implement some higher-end sort of platforms, and we'll continue to expand in that area. What we want to do is use technology. You know, it's not just for the sake of technology. It's using it as a tool to be more effective and efficient. And I'm very pleased with what I've seen so far from that area, and we're looking for great things there, because that's, you know, being on top of technology today is what, you know, keeps you on the leading edge.
Bob, it seemed like one question you got in the news conference that you smiled a little bit about on Sunday. Ask about your future as far as where you are with Farm Bureau. You indicated you're not done yet.
Well, this is my 14th year. I am running for re-election this time. I run for a re-election. President does in this organization every 2 years. My standard mantra has been that I'll leave when I quit having fun or they kick me out, whichever happens first. I'm still having fun. We still got a lot of things to do. It's still very exciting, and so far they haven't kicked me out.
Okay, very good.